Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. And welcome to another episode we have here at Suspense Radio. This is a very, very special broadcast that we are bringing to you Monday night here, 7 o'clock Pacific, 10 o'clock Eastern for our guests. So we are very pleased that we're going to be able to talk here with author Daniel Palmer about his book, Desperate. I'm your host, John Robb, and we're going to thank you all for listening however, whenever, wherever you listen, because sit back, relax, because a very special edition of Suspense Radio starts right now. Everybody, we're going to rock right now. We're going to roll right into our guest. This is author Daniel Palmer. His latest book is called Desperate. This is his fourth book out. Now, he does not write a series, so this is the fourth book, standalone book. Fabulous concept by a great author, so we want to welcome Daniel to the show. So, Daniel, thank you so much for coming on. How are you doing?
Hey, it is my pleasure. 10 o'clock Eastern time. I needed that theme music. I liked it. Got me pumped up.
I was thinking, I'm like, which one? I was like, which intro do I do? I'm like, you know what? Let's do a little heat sticker because that'll get them going.
Yeah, I needed it. Thanks. I'm up at 5 in the morning these days. So I get up really early because I find that maybe like my best time to work. So I preset the coffee and it's dripping when I come down. I set my alarm for 4:45 and then I just sit down and I try not to log into Facebook and I try to just write. But then what happens is I peter out around this particular hour. But I am unpetering for our chat tonight. I'm excited to be here.
We're going to get this because, you know, because we're talking about your book Desperate. I mean, this is your fourth book, and when we saw you at Thriller Fest a couple of years ago, I mean, it was, you know, you came out with your first one, Delirious, and all of a sudden, bam, four books later, here you go with Desperate, what I think is probably your best book that you've written to date. So let's talk about a little bit about it. Give everybody a little bit about Desperate and, you know, what it's about.
Well, it's a tough book to talk about because you don't want to give away too much, but in a nutshell, it's about... It kind of starts with an act of kindness. It's about a couple who have come together under tragic circumstances surrounding the death of a child. Each of these people had lost a child, and they met at a grief group, fell in love, and decided to start a family of their own. But then they suffer another loss, a miscarriage in this particular case, and the pain of the losses is mounting. It's too much, and really they can't face the idea of going through a pregnancy again, but they're both committed to now becoming parents, and they decide to go the adoption route. And adoption's a very long and formidable process, and they're engaged in it, committed to it, when by happenstance they meet a young pregnant woman on a curbside crying, and they exchange a business card. Well, this pregnant woman, weeks later, ends up finding the couple's profile on a website where prospective adopting parents can seek out birth mothers who are looking for families. And she recognizes the couple. She remembers their one act of kindness. She comes to their house unannounced with an offer to say, if you want to be the parents of this child, I will gladly make that happen. and an arrangement is formed where she moves into the house, and as soon as she sets foot in their home, strange and terrible things begin to happen, and the mystery kind of around Lily, who's the pregnant woman, slowly begins to unfold. And it's, you know, you don't want to give away too much, but that's
sure.
really the premise. And what's funny about that is, you know, it's maybe the slowest starting book I've done. It kind of is a simmer. It doesn't start off as a boil. It starts off with kind of the simmering tension, and then it just gets crazy.
Kind of like it's like a really good sauce. You got to start it off slow. Otherwise, you overcook it and it burns to the bottom of the pan, and then you kind of fizzle it out. So you kind of let the sauce like a simmer and let it build from that.
It's tricky, though, because readers love to begin with a bang. And sometimes it's actually better to let it kind of the slow cook. And in this particular case, it needed to be a slow cook in order for the story to kind of unfold the way I wanted it to. And in fact, you know, I consciously made it that way. When I wrote Stolen, the book I did before Desperate, I wanted to write a book that when you got to page, I don't remember what it is, maybe page 30 or page 40 in the book, I slam my foot down on the accelerator and I don't let up for 300 pages. And it was, you know, Stolen was relentless. It just didn't even breathe. And I wanted to, with this book, actually create more of an atmosphere and kind of a slower build into what the story is about. And I think that worked out well, and it was very different for me to do a book like that.
Yeah, and, you know, the one thing that I'm noticing a lot more in thriller books, which I see in yours, which you've done a masterful job in crafting, is the deeper emotional level that characters have to go through, more than the cat and mouse game of, you know, detective and killer and chasing and this and that. I mean, this is a deep emotional subject by, you know, miscarriages and, you know, family, creating family and starting a baby and doing all these things that, you know, are coming around with it. And you hit this in a way that is just a lot more, like I said, than just the typical, you know, you have the murder, then you're chasing and you're trying to figure out. Was that a conscious effort when you sat down beginning to write that you wanted to kind of do this emotional level at the book?
A 1,000,000%. That was it. I knew that this was going to be a book driven by emotion, that if I couldn't get the emotion right, I couldn't tell this story. In a lot of ways, it's a family drama because it just deals with issues that people can relate to at a visceral level, very, you know, to the core, especially when you're dealing with the death of a child, which is just hard.
Yeah.
And I knew it was going to be tough to write about. It happens off page, so it's the backstory, and I think that that made it, you know, palatable.
It a little.
It did. It softened it. What was fascinating to me about what has been fascinating about this whole process is I needed a way to tell the backstory that was organic and interesting. And I have I'm making a confession here on the radio, so it's going to be out there for everybody. But I'm fine with that. I have a neighbor, a friend, who is a master electrician, who is also a medium, and it is through this particular individual that I came up with the character of Brad, who is a plumber, who has psychic ability, and can commune with the dead. And it is through Brad that we learn about Gage and his son and his love for his son. And what fascinated me about the process, now that the book's been out, there hasn't been one reader who has balked at Gage, at Brad, at the medium. And I think that's just amazing. It's just everybody's just kind of embraced and accepted this character. And I know firsthand that he comes from somebody who's, you know, I've met this guy. I know my electrician really well. He is a salt of the earth, straight shooting type guy, And there's a line in Desperate where Brad the plumber says he's never chased down anybody for a bill because he's never taken a job from somebody who wasn't going to pay. And he does it because he can read people's energy. And it's the same with my electrician. I got that line right from my electrician.
Wow.
So in order to tell the story, I created this character who's really based on somebody very real, who has these abilities. Whether you're a believer or not, it's very difficult to not kind of go, wow, maybe this is true, because this is not the guy who comes to my house and does work is not a somebody you meet with the crystal ball and the beads and the incense. This is just a regular guy who can do this special talent. And so it was really, really fun to write him into the story. And I think I loved how his character kind of played a part in the telling.
Would you find to say, because always, I like to ask authors, there's always a character that surprises you in a book. There's one that when you sat down to write, you didn't really think they were going to have that big of an impact, and then all of a sudden you finished and you're like, where the hell did they come from? Would Brad be that guy?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. I mean, I knew he needed a buddy. You know, it's always tough with these books. So, well, let me actually back up one second and go back to your other question for just a second on the emotion. So as I was writing this book and telling Gage's backstory, it's a backstory of gut-wrenching pain. And I am a dad of, of two great little people. And thankfully, thank goodness, I've never had to experience anything even remotely resembling that. But I understand the emotion of being a dad. I understand the emotion of the desire to have a family. And I needed to learn about the pain of loss. And doing that research was brutal. And a lot of that emotion I put into the book. But I didn't want the book to be difficult to read. But there has definitely been a few people who have started the book and, mentioned to me or tweeted that by page 15 they were sobbing. And I'm like, all right, that really wasn't my intention, but it happened because it's just raw stuff anyway. But I feel like it was important stuff to write about. So anyways, back to the characters who surprised me. Yeah, I would say I knew that Gage needed to have a buddy. But I didn't want to have a book where there was a cast of thousands. I'm writing a book right now where there is a cast of thousands, and it's a very different animal. But this was an intimate story, and it needed an intimate cast. So I could do one buddy, and that became Brad. And really, it was very important to me that the role that Brad played wasn't going to be deus ex machina, right? Like, he wasn't going to come up with something that was going to save the day.
Right.
He played a very specific role, a very pivotal role, but his ultimate contribution had nothing to do with spirituality. It had everything to do with friendship and the here and now.
Yeah. And then you went ahead and said, okay, let's make a character, Lily, that's going to shake the shit out of everything. So how did Lily kind of come about when you decided that you're going to now have to thrust these characters not only into the emotion, like, Gage losing his wife and his son and, having to go through all the fact of meeting Anna and now you're going to throw Lily in the mix. How did she kind of come about?
Yeah, Lily... You know, in a lot of ways was inspired by an incident that happened to some friends of mine who were in the process of adopting, who met a pregnant woman by happenstance, who forged a relationship with this woman, and she ended up moving into a vacant property that they owned, and she began to act very different as soon as she had her possessions in their home. She was no longer congenial. She was no longer communicative. She was no longer going to doctor's appointments. She was no longer a part of the process. She became kind of just this entity, this being who was occupying space, who was occupying both physical and emotional space in their lives. And they had a very difficult time extracting her from their lives. And her motives to this day, I think, remain somewhat veiled. I'm not exactly sure what she was after, but it certainly planted a seed for me to use in this book. It was a very unique situation that I thought lended itself well to storytelling. One thing that I try to do with all my books, or have tried to do, is to look at an aspect of technology, how we're bringing it into our lives more and more. It's pervasive in every facet of our existence, and it's also this growing type of crime, cyber crime. And I'm not always looking for cyber crime per se thematically, right, to write about, but I look for ways that the internet can influence and impact our lives and lead to danger. And in this case, I was looking at adoption websites where they're kind of cutting out the middle person. They're cutting out the agencies, and it's birth mother direct to adopting couples seeking to adopt. And it's creating intimate strangers. Through the internet, you're creating these bonds that are so truly personal with people you know absolutely nothing about. And it's kind of a fascinating facet of what's happening with technology today. And so that was something I also wanted to play into, is who's this woman who's kind of used the internet to track down this couple, to find this couple, and what's her intention?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things when you're kind of reading, when you're kind of shaking the things up and you're kind of seeing what kind of falls on the other side, I think that Desperate has done, just like I said, like a masterful job of mixing character with emotion and story kind of all together, and you kind of brought this out. I'm not sure how long it took you to write it, but, how did you feel like when you were done? Did you feel that this is kind of like your best work that you've kind of done to date, looking back from Delirious and Helpless and Stolen?
This could be it. This could be the opus. Yeah. I don't know if I can repeat it. I don't know if it can be the breakout I'd like it to be. I think it deserves it, honestly. I think it. If I was to have that book where it caught on, it would be this book. And I think the reason it would be this book is because of the wide appeal. This isn't a story. This isn't a serial killer or a mystery chase or something
right.
like that. This is a, you know, I would put it in the line. I don't want to compare it to other books, but it's got a very family drama center. And I think that enhances the appeal to a wide audience. It's a unique story. I mean, for the most part, pretty much everybody's comment on it is, wow, that was not expected. And that's really what I wanted. I knew that when I was writing this book, I'm like, I'm only going to be able to write a book like this once. It's just not a book that you can easily repeat. Not that you'd ever want to repeat yourself, but it would be a very difficult structurally. I think this is like kind of a one-shot deal, a special kind of a story, a fun story. And so I hope that it finds a big audience. I would love it. I think the book deserves it. I don't know if my writing's gotten better. I don't know if my character development's gotten better, or it's just that this particular story lent itself to a lot of my strengths. I'm a much more of an emotional person than I am intellectual person. And not to imply that I have no intellectual side. I do, but I think I'm driven more by emotion than anything, and things that have an emotional center really appeal to me greatly. And this book had so much of it that it was really almost easy to write. I don't want to say easy; it was hard, and they're all hard. But I knew I saw the beginning, the middle, and the end of this book. And I don't, looking back on it, I don't think there was a huge calamity, a huge disaster. And in fact, the same could be said of Stolen, my third book, and those were both written in the first person. And I think that was also a huge help for me to write in the first person. It's a very comfortable place for me to write inside a character's head. I don't know if a lot of authors find it easier or find it harder, but for me, I find it kind of refreshing. And the book I'm writing now is third person, multiple points of view.
Yeah.
It's a different challenge.
Yeah.
Different challenge. But yeah, it was. I think I finished Desperate, and I thought, man, this came out nuts. This is crazy.
Well, I want to remind everybody that we're speaking here with author Daniel Palmer. Go to danielpalmerbooks.com for a lot more information. Sign up for the newsletter. Read a lot more about Desperate, Stolen, Helpless, Delirious, all his books. And the one thing that I also want to see is that, I want to know, you never have yet fallen into the series character. All your books are standalone. Your stories are all different. Again, is that another conscious decision to say, I like to have the blank canvas every time I go to the computer?
Yeah, I don't. It's conscious in the fact that I don't have a good series character. Like, I could write a police procedural, I could write a police officer, I could write a homicide detective, but I feel like there's a lot of people doing that really well. And I'm not sure what I would bring to the table that would be new or different or interesting. I kind of set out to write, pulling from my background as a technology guy to try to show the hidden dangers of all the technology we're bringing into our lives, because I could kind of peel back the onion and get down into a little bit of the nuts and bolts of technology. But honestly, I'm not sure that that's interesting to the reader. I don't know if the reader really cares about the nuts and bolts of the technology. And so what I've really ended up becoming is the everyman thriller writer. And I think there's other people who do what I do and do it very, very well. Greg Hurwitz, Andrew Gross, Linwood Barkley, Harlan Coben, when he's not doing his Myron series, when he writes a standalone, I think we're all kind of doing a similar thing. And those are just names off the top of my head. I know there's tons more.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I think I'm ultimately, whether they're techie, there's a technical element to the book, I think they're really just everyday people in extraordinary circumstances. And that becomes difficult to write a series character on, because how many crazy things can happen to the same guy? If poor Gage Decker has another insane experience, it just would stretch credulity to the breaking point. So I haven't been able to find that series character, and I don't know if readers want that or if they're happy with the standalone and it doesn't really make a difference. What the reader wants is a good story. I don't know if it's a benefit or a detriment or neither to my career, but that's the reason I haven't done it, is because I just don't know who that character would be.
So to wrap things up here, because you got to get to sleep. You're going to be up in about 7 hours. So how is the best way for people to kind of contact you, ask you questions about the book or get in touch with you, maybe see you out and about? Where are you going to be?
Well, my Facebook page is pretty active, so that's the Daniel James Palmer. And unfortunately, it's Daniel James Palmer on Facebook because I made the page when I decided to be Daniel James Palmer. I had this vision. I was like, that's going to be my author name. And I'll be all like, Mr. This is Daniel James Palmer. Like, I had the three-name thing going, and I thought that was great. And then my publisher, I told my publisher what my plan was. And their first reaction was, that's a lot of words on the cover. Can it just be Daniel Palmer? And I was like, fine. But by that point, I had already made the Facebook page, and apparently you can't undo it once you've done it. So on Facebook, I'm Daniel James Palmer. For for what it's worth. And I do interact a lot with people there. You can also just go to the Daniel Palmer Books website and send me a message, and I respond to all of them, or Twitter, which is Daniel Palmer. I mean, honestly, I'm like out of control with all of this stuff. I have Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and Google Plus and Pinterest, and I don't know why.
I don't know either. Either do
why
I.
Do I
the
have...
same thing. I'm like, why do I have all these things?
Why do I have all this stuff? And my brother Matthew is getting into this game. He's got his new book coming out, and I should also mention, if I could, that my father's 19th medical thriller is coming out on Tuesday the 20th. So that's Resistance.
Oh, just
and my father Michael Palmer, who sadly we lost him in October. And so his 19th book, Resistant, will be out on Tuesday next week, and then my brother Matthew has his debut coming out on the I think the 26th of June, and he's writing political suspense novels because he has a 20-year career in the Foreign Service. So we're all, my father does the medical, my brother does the political, and I do the everyman, and I guess that's kind of how the Palmer family rolls.
You're the blue collar, and they're I guess.
Yeah, and you know what? That's fitting, because I feel like I am kind of the blue collar of the Palmer family.
Yeah.
I'm kind of the salt of the earth guy. I'm like Brad. I connect with people with my Brad character because I feel like he embodies me, minus the ability to commune with the spirit world, because I really have never done that.
Well, if you can remember, when you wake up in the morning, if it's not too late, tell Matthew we want to get him on the show, because your father was going to send us over the book when we met him at Thriller Fest, because he wanted us to read it for the magazine. And, of course, things changed and happened. So we would love to be able to talk to Matthew about his book, because I think it would be great to get him on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll definitely do that. He would love it. And the reason I was bringing him up, not only to give him a little plug, but he's getting into this social media thing as well. But he has he's like completely guileless when it comes to this networking through social media. He really doesn't know a lot about it, but it's actually making him very good at it, because the way he does it is completely different than everybody else. He's incredibly unself-promotional and super entertaining, and just because he doesn't know what else to do with it. And so he's writing these really funny Facebook post updates that are a gas to read. So I definitely will pass on the message, and I appreciate you having me on. I thank you for everything you've done over the.
We want to thank you so much. We want to thank you for coming on. We know it's kind of late. I mean, we'll do anything we can to help you out. Like always, you just let us know a week or two for you, and that's what we'll do. And we just want to thank you for coming on, and now you can go to sleep.
I'm going to do it, except I have to see if my Bruins have come back from a 3-0 deficit to the Canadiens.
Oh, you mean in the NHL?
Yeah, I put on the...
Don't look at the final. Just go to bed.
All right, I think you're right. John, thanks so much for everything. I so appreciate all your support. You guys are the best.
Thank you, Daniel. You have a good one. We'll talk to you later.
All right, take care, bud. Bye.
All right, bye. So again, everybody, that is author Daniel Palmer, and his latest book is called Desperate. Visit DanielPalmerBooks.com for a lot more information. We want to thank you all for listening to this very special suspense radio show that we had tonight, and we want to, again, thank you all for listening. Check out the Facebook page. We put the magazine up for free this month, too. So anybody can go listen and see what they want to do, and we will talk with you all coming up here in a couple weeks again with our next episode. So visit SuspenseMagazine.com. Until then, everybody, good night. Have a good one.